Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
Listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the March 8th. 2015 edition of FOJC Radio Church. And I am David Carrico, and for the next hour, we're going to be studying the Word of God. Our lesson this morning is The Image of the Beast, Part 2. The Image of the Beast, Part 2. And I am so honored to be able to bring you the Word of the Lord this morning. We have had an absolutely fantastic week in the Lord this week. Heaven broke through, and I really sense an open heaven upon our endeavors this morning. And I am looking for a marvelous time in the Lord this morning. And as we do, we're going to prepare our hearts to receive the Word with a few moments of worship. And we will be right back with our message this morning, The Image of the Beast, Part 2.
You're here. I hope you feel the same when you see all my fears and how I feel. I fall sometimes. It's hard to walk in shifting sand. I miss the rock and find I've nowhere left to stand and start to cry. Lord, please help me raise my hands so you can pick me up. Hold me close. Like a child who's helped you out of storm.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every one gathered together to hear your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you anoint their ears to receive the word this morning. Lord, I pray that you help me to bring forth your word this morning. Give me the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, help Donna this morning to keep everything running smoothly. And Lord, each and every one that has a need out there this morning, just let that need be met as the word goes forth this morning. And we give you the praise for everything good that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our lesson this morning is the Image of the Beast, Part 2. And we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read the 16th and the 17th verse. If you did not hear the broadcast last week, I would encourage you to go to the archives and listen to that, and because there's some groundwork we laid there that will enrich the understanding of what we bring forth this week. But last week, we learned that we are changed to be like what we worshiped, and we talked about how we become the image of what we worship, whether good or bad. And the basic thesis that I put forth last week was that organized religion will become the image of the beast and is now that image that is taking form. And we also learned that we become the body of what we worship. And this morning, we're going to add one more thing to that, that we become the temple of what we worship. And we become the image, the body, and temple of that which we worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 16 and 17, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And this is not talking about spray painting graffiti on a building somewhere, but this is talking about destroying God's temple, which is the people of God. Now, this speaks prophetically of the beast that will come and defile the temple of God. And when it says him God will destroy, this is talking about the destruction of the beast and the false prophet that will defile the temple. And when we think about defiling the temple of God, we can't think of defiling some physical building any more than in 1 Corinthians 3, defiling the temple is talking about defiling some physical temple. This whole rebuilt temple thing is misdirection. And we have emphasized that repeatedly. And when it talks about the destruction, we're going to see the destruction of the temple defiler and all of those that join with him. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want us to understand this morning, I want us to have understanding just exactly how the false prophet is going to sit in the temple and defile it. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 3 and 4, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this is almost universally misunderstood as referring to the first beast of Revelation 13. This is thanks to all of the great rapture movies that have been put out. But the man of sin is referring to the false prophet, beast number 2. And there's a positive idea on this, because the first beast of Revelation 13, if you read the text of the first 10 verses, he works no miracles whatsoever. And in verse 11 and following in Revelation 13, it is the false prophet that does the miracles. And here in 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of sin is the miracle worker. This is the false prophet that's being spoken of, who will be one of the popes of Rome. And in verse 4, it said, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Now, in verse 7 and following, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And this isn't referring to the removal of the Holy Ghost by in the pre-trib rapture scenario, but this is talking about the removal of the restrainer, which is Michael and the angels of God. And when this restraining force is removed, we're going to see the pit in Revelation 9 open, and as my good friend Barb W. says, the critters are going to come in, and that's what's going to happen. All the little critters are going to come in. And in verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, speaking of the false prophet, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The one that defiles the temple, him will God destroy. And all of those that join with the false prophet in defiling the temple, they also will be destroyed in like manner. In verse 9, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And this is beast number 2 in Revelation 13 that performs the signs and the lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned. And this strong delusion, we began talking about last week, how that the false prophet is going to cause every follower of the beast to have their own personal idol. And they are going to channel, if you will, the first beast of Revelation 13 as their spirit guide. And the image of the beast is going to be in their mind. And the false prophet is going to give life and breath to this image in their mind. Now, we went into a lot more detail into this, and we're not going to go over all of it again. You can listen to that, the broadcast last week. There was a lot of scriptures we brought to bear on that, and we gave a specific example how that New Age cults, they are right now creating these spirit guides. It's something that's happening right now. But I want us to understand, and I know a lot of you do understand, how that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this is a direct paradox and the antithesis of what God is doing. God is building his temple, and the beast is building his temple also. When it comes down to the nub, you're either going to be in the bride or you're going to be in the whore. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." And we now have access through the blood of Jesus to boldly come before the throne. And we can enter into that secret place of the Most High. And we can actually come before the throne in the Spirit of God and sit with Christ in heavenly places. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, this is Sister Donna's favorite verse. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And if you can understand this morning how that we sit in heavenly places with Christ, and I know many of you do, you can understand how the false prophet is going to sit in the temple of God. He is going to spiritually defile the temple of God's people by forcing them to receive the beast as their spirit guide and worship him through this personal idol. And this is going to involve taking the mark. And after the mark is taken, there will be a means, quite possibly the RFID chip, of monitoring people to enforce this upon them. Now, the RFID chip is not the mark, but this could very well be the way that the mark is enforced and tracked. The mark will be received at the false communion when the beast is willingly worshipped, and he will be received as the spirit guide in this false communion, which will be anointed with miracles by devils. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15, which I have alluded to. And this is the scripture that speaks of that which the false prophet will do. In Revelation 13:15, it says, "And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." And this beast will literally, this image, will come alive in the spirit in their minds, and this is going to be just like we sit in the heavenly places with Christ in the spirit. He is going to sit with them in the spirit, you see. There's a direct analogy. Everything that the devil is doing is a direct imitation of what the Lord is doing. And when it comes down to it, notice the language here in Revelation chapter 13, in verse 6. "Everyone will be in the bride or in the whore." There's going to be no other place for people to be. And you're either going to be what the Word of God calls an earth dweller, or you're going to be a heaven dweller. In Revelation 13 and 6, it says, and this is speaking of the first beast in Revelation 13, and it says, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme three things, his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven." God's remnant will dwell in heaven via Ephesians 2:6 and Colossians 3:1. Our feet will be on earth, but our hearts and our spirits will be in heaven. before the throne of God, because only by entering into God's presence will we be transformed into His image, and only by the presence of God will we be able to stand and do what we do in these last days. The spirit of Elijah is going to be on the end time remnant. And Elijah had a little phrase that he would use repeatedly. Elijah would say, "The Lord God before whom I stand." And this is going to be the slogan, if you will, of the remnant: "The Lord God before whom I stand," because we will be planted on the earth with our feet, but our hearts and our spirits, they are going to be dwelling in heaven. And the antithesis to that in Revelation 13 and 8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth dwellers will be those that follow the beast. They will have their own personal idols, and they will be dwelling in the spirit with the beast, channeling him as their spirit guide, worshiping the image and reverencing him as the God of the mysteries, the final incarnation of Hiram Abiff, of Apollo, of Bacchus, of Osiris and Nimrod." And verse 8, let me read the whole verse for you, Revelation 13 and 8. "And all them that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Those whose names in the book of life, they dwell in heaven. Those whose names are not, they dwell on the earth. They worship the beast. Everybody is going to be in one of these two categories, and by far, most people are going to be worshiping the beast. But God is going to have a remnant that is going to be dwelling in heaven in this end time, and we are going to be a part of that by the grace of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, there are several things that has to happen for this to become a reality of it. One thing we touched on last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 18. The scripture says here, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And as we enter in to God's presence and spend time there, we are changed into the same image, and if you don't, you won't be. Now, you cannot just read this verse and say, "Okay, that's cool, amen, now let's go on to something else." You have to embrace this. And as I began when we did our series on spiritual warfare, I prefaced this with a statement, something to the effect of, a normal prayer life is not going to suffice. And by normal, I mean that which would be normally presented as acceptable among so-called Christianity. And we are going to have to get serious with the Lord in entering into His presence, serious with prayer, serious with worship, and getting into the presence of God where we can feel that manifest presence, that glory. In the Hebrew word for that is kabod, and it meant literally a weighty presence that could be felt. The New Testament word is doxa, glory, the actual brightness that comes off from the very presence of God Himself. We have to have the presence of God. We have to say with Moses, "Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, I can't go another step." We've got to have the presence of God. And that's what the Lord is going to build His church around. He's going to build His church around His presence, just like He did in the days when He led the children of Israel out through the wilderness. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, we're going to come to something else this morning that we're not going to be able to bypass. We're going to have to deal with it. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, the scripture says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And just look at your neighbor this morning and say, "I'm looking for Jesus to appear." I know this morning that you are. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Our listeners believe in the return of the Lord, and we are looking for Him, and we're looking for that tribulation that will precede that. We're looking. We're getting ready. We're excited, and we're looking for Him. Now, in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and I'm coming to another one of those Rubicons, we could say, a crossing of the Rubicon that we're going to have to deal with. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, and the book of Titus is wanting to hide from me. Come, there you are. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." In Hebrews 9 and 28, it says that we are looking for His appearing, and unto them that look for Him, He will appear to them. And here it says that this is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope isn't some pre-trib rapture. That's a fantasy. Our blessed hope is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. That's our hope. Now, I want to preface the second half of our teaching with a little bit of an explanation. We are going to be dealing in the second half of our study with the Bride of Christ. And last 2 weeks ago, we did a group teaching here. We had a group come in and we taught them here locally, here in Evansville. And I was led to teach on the Bride of Christ. And I hadn't done that for a long time. And it was kind of a change of direction. I was teaching on the Gospel of John, and I wound up teaching on the Bride of Christ. And that just within a day or two, we received a message from Sister Karen, who is an intercessor that prays regularly for our ministry. And she sent us a dream that she had called the Perfected Bride. Now, I know that when these little God winks, we could call them, these, I don't call them coincidences, I don't believe in them, but I believe this is just like God winking at us and saying, "Yeah, looky here." Because while I, and of course she didn't know that I was teaching on the bride, and here comes this dream, and it perfectly coincides with what the Lord wants me to say this morning concerning that which we're talking about. And it's always good to teach a right thing, but to teach the right thing at the right time. This is truly a God thing. And I just want to read one sentence here from that which she sent. She says, "Time is short." What that means, well, I don't know what it will look like, but I think it looks like the Lord is shining a light into the darkness and the roaches are manifesting. It is a time for warning and sound foundation. Well, yes, indeed, this morning, the roaches are manifesting. They're running for cover, and it is indeed time for a warning. And we're going to be issuing that warning as we study the Bride of Christ in part two of our study this morning. We're going to take our break this morning, and we're going to be right back with our message on the Image of the Beast part two. We'll be right back.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
We declare the kingdom of God is here.
John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta town. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switch and bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows. Behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. In the distance, sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string and makes his little puppets dance to any song he sings as the night rolls in on the rising tide. Beyond the shadows, behold the pale horse ride. The last hope of mankind. Time hurries on, the shadows fall, the hand is writing on the wall, but even now there's still a chance. For if the ones called by God's name repent of sin, seek his face, he will hear and heal the land. There's an unseen hand reaching from above, and a gentle voice that beckons to the shelter of his love.